Welcome to Season 2 of the Excel Podcast. Join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he talks to a variety of people with useful and interesting things to say about all things to do with instructing and driver training. Throughout the series, there will be a mixture of local personalities from the driver training industry in the Exeter and Torbay areas, as well as nationally acclaimed trainers. Episodes include informative discussions regarding all aspects of running your business, as well as opportunities to find out a bit more about each interviewee. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Excel Podcast. And I'm delighted to have with me today somebody who's joining me from the other side of the southern part of Britain in Kent. Somebody who has allegedly been described as the person who gave Diane Hall the nickname of the witch. That's from her own mouth, of course, as some of you will have heard from the previous podcast that I've done with her. And she suggested to me today that I might need to be in for the duration to get the beer and the sandwiches in, but both my guest and I have a curfew to meet because he has an appointment at 4:30 and the creature that's curled up on the chair next to me has an appointment at the VET later on today. I spell it out just in case she can actually recognize the name. So I have with me, as Diane says, motor mouth, and I want to be much more polite about him and say thank you very much to Mr. Chris Benstead. Hi, Chris.
Hi, I can neither confirm nor deny any of that.
My lips are sealed. Anyway, thanks ever so much for coming to join me. As we had a chat in the sort of preamble before we started recording, there are 101 things and more that we probably could talk about. But we've decided that, well, I've decided really, I want to just concentrate on a couple of areas today. And that is your theory test explained initiative. Yes. And the DITC. So we'll do one after the other. One thing I will say beforehand, Chris, before we go into these, it's what percentage of ADIs actually are actively involved in CPD? Is it 10%?
I think to do that, you have to define the CPD.
Well, I was just going to say that myself as well, yes.
Yeah, I hate those stats because actually yes. I know some really quiet instructors that do, yeah, they're really diligent and they do their homework, but they wouldn't say they do CPD. So I don't know, but I will happily go on record as saying not enough.
Yes, yeah, I think. Yeah. One thing I've found from doing this is with the local ADI community is the number of people who don't realise what the abundance of resources are out there. So many of them did not realise how much stuff Bob Bolton has got online, for example.
Yeah, no, there was a couple of good things about COVID. And I know it's been a rough old journey for people, but we are beginning to see some really good resources coming through. A lot of those were not written for commercial purposes. And because of that, people have done it because, you know, they had a bit of time on their hands and they wanted to keep themselves busy. There's some really nice stuff because they got to do it their way. So, yeah, there's some lovely bits out there. There's been improvements on the theory side. You know, that's where I sort of moved across. Yeah. But on the coaching side of things and on the disabilities as well, check out Disability Driving Instructors and their courses, which have come again from people having had that time to get them in place. And yeah, that, you know, those kind of developments are brilliant and it gives you variety in your day.
Yes.
And I love that. It's why I do like 20 different things at once.
Yeah. Well, the first season of the podcast, one of our local instructors who specializes in disability came on, and her predecessor, who is no longer working full time in that area, is going to do one in sometime in the next few weeks as well. So yeah, these sort of things just, you know, and again, it opened up people's minds to something that they may not have even considered before. And, you know, and I know Emma, the one who spoke to before Christmas, said, you know, that we're crying out for people to help in this area.
And you don't need to be automatic. And you don't need to have an adapted vehicle. You can get involved on a kind of entry level, if you like, but it's a slippery slope. That's all I'll say. So once you start doing it, if you enjoy it, it's fascinating work.
Yeah.
And the feeling of supporting someone who otherwise wouldn't have achieved it is brilliant. We enjoy that buzz with your typical learner coming through, but when there's all of those other needs and you've had to be flexible in your thinking and all the rest of it, it's brilliant. So anything like that, just find something to dip a toe in the water.
There's always somebody somewhere who can help you and give you advice and guidance.
Absolutely. And if you can't find them, give me a shout.
Yeah. Right. We'll put the link in under the notes anyway for that. Before we actually dive into either of those topics, one thing I do like to do with everybody is just sort of, and I know they can probably find this with one of your podcast contributions elsewhere, but let's assume they're going to be a bit lazy. Just give us a bit of a timeline of how you've got to where you are now and what that's involved.
I've got the worst geographical knowledge out of anyone, so I never know where I am now. I think that goes for life as well. I don't really know. It's a really difficult one. So I'll give you kind of the career progression.
There
wasn't a plan to it, is all I say. So I started, my background's retail, working in a high street shop. I became the youngest buyer for a privately owned multiple in the UK at the age of 18. Did that for 4 years, hated it. So I went and worked in the shop again as a manager and got made redundant. And I think that's a beginning of many a driving instructor journey. We're either unemployed or unemployable. That kind of, that pushed me to do something different. And I became a sales rep. And I rediscovered training through that, which is really important to where I got to, because I got sent on a sales training course and I suddenly figured out didn't enjoy school. Was all right at it, but didn't enjoy school, but loved learning stuff. And that hasn't stopped. And that's why I love when you mentioned CPD, that it's just if you are not learning something new every day, you're in the wrong room. Find a different one. Find different people to hang out with, find different things to do. And that's what I started doing. So I stuck a pin in the local list of training that you could do for like courses, adult education type things and that sort of thing. And I hit hypnosis, literally put a pin in a book. So once I did my sales training, I went and started to qualify in clinical hypnotherapy. Halfway through that, got made redundant, partly because I wasn't a very good sales rep, and partly because the credit crunch was hitting. So decided to become a driving instructor. Not because I like driving or I'm good at driving, because I don't like driving and I'm not very good at it. I've got better. I did it because I looked at my skill set and went, I'm good at training and breaking things down to basic levels. And I'm good at communication. So... And I don't like people, oddly, but I'm good at communication. So no offense to people that are listening, but it's not my favorite thing. And that then led me to driving instruction. I went back and finished my hypnosis qualification because I thought, brilliant, I can work with nervous drivers, and then realized hypnotizing people behind the wheel was possibly a lawsuit waiting to happen and not something around the floor. But that got me into NLP. And all of these things are relevant, I promise you. So that's kind of where I came into the industry, was looking at things a bit differently, because it wasn't because I like or enjoy or are good at driving. And I was very interested at that point in the subconscious approach to things and how learning happens without learning being done. So I did my training with BSM. All went really well. The trainer that I got was great because he knew that I was desperate to get qualified because I didn't have a job. So he took me all over the place working with lots of different PDIs, which was great because I got more experience that way. And I did my time with BSM and then I went independent. Then on a training course, I bumped into Ian Brett, driving instructor with his own company, doing similar to me. And we end up working together, and that kind of took me through. And during that journey, I got a phone call saying, would you like to go on Sky News? And people often say, how did you end up on the TV? I said yes. There were 10 people before me that said no. So never close a door.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whether you want to do it or not, that's a choice. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I prefer it to talking to human beings. The fact it was live and everything, I wasn't that bothered. Ian left me with a parting comment that's now become the company motto. I'll use the polite version, but I'll let you think of don't mess it up. Which that's kind of the approach of, you know, do your best at what you're doing. During that time, I started the first Facebook group for driving instructors. So I was starting to get people knowing my name. When I started it, I was a, you know, brand new, I don't think I was even an AD. It might have been a PDI when I started. So other things started coming towards me, and I've had some amazing opportunities to work with DVSA, Highways England, now National Highways. I've worked with lots of the tech type companies, My Drive Time, Go Roadie. I've met wonderful people, I've met Diane Hall. I can get my own back.
I know she'll listen to this at some point.
But Diane was—I always say she was the first proper book that I bought in the industry. The DSA rubbish, which is not how to train people. It's fundamentals of how roads work. And that she's guilty for a lot from that book. I think it was already there, but it unlocked a lot of things and kind of tapped into that subconscious side of what I do. And at that point, I then started introducing NLP skills to the industry. And NLP, for anyone who doesn't know, is neuro-linguistic programming, for short. It's how different people communicate differently.
Yeah, that's where I first came across you, because you came down to Exeter some years ago. And there's elements of that I am most definitely using, probably on a daily basis, if not lesson by lesson.
Well, that's lovely to know, because we're looking at possibly whether it'll work on a Zoom format or something, because traveling is a challenge, and I do the school run, so I'm committed to being around for nine in the morning. So, it's not as easy to come down and visit places like yourself. So we're considering whether it's something to revisit, because there's just out of the box skills. I think too often, and this is what puts people off CPD, you need to know a lot to do something. So people do big qualifications and they get to the end of it. And I often then get a phone call going, I've done this. How do I then use that? You know, how do I take it and put it into practice? It's like buying, you know, the latest bit of kit and then not knowing what all the buttons do. You know, if you've got an iPhone, don't just use it for phone calls and text messages. You're missing out. It's then translating that into the car, and that's one of my skill sets, which is what I'm doing with the theory test and with the DITC stuff. So, and out of all those awesome opportunities, I've met amazing people. Really have been lucky all the way through, and luck is, you know, always paired with a lot of hard work. I don't say I don't work hard. I don't need sleep, so I don't tend to. I like being busy. and exploring things. But and I like knowing stuff.
Yeah.
And as certain individuals have suggested, I've got lots to say.
That's great, because everybody I've spoken to has contributed something about themselves that is obviously unique. It's a silly thing to say, it's obvious, but has come from a different angles, and you know, people who listen to this can say, well, yeah, some of them will connect with what you've said, some of them will connect with what somebody else from where they've come from in their previous existence. And one thing that you said there about, you know, we're always learning. I had a PDI. We only had about an hour available, so on Wednesday, I think it was, I said to Vicky, look, just go and you have a go at trying to get me to reverse Bay Park. And I've got to say, so she's going to make a great ADI because she really puts the work in. And there was one thing she got about when to get me to turn the car, which worked. And something like, and I said to her, I'm going to try that. Thank you very much. You know, and we've all got, you know, if we close our minds because we think we know it all, then that's the day we should pack up.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of my best stuff is stolen from somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's in a form that's totally original, that the inspiration for it has come from something and somewhere. So exposing yourself to more stuff means you get more inspiration. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Yeah. And you know,
Bob Morton virtually said the same thing, that, you know, most of his stuff he's nabbed from somebody else.
You put it in your own spin.
Yeah.
What I hate, and I don't mean this as a criticism of anyone that does it, but I always feel they're limiting themselves.
Yeah.
Is when people are repeating what they've learnt to teach other people.
Yeah.
Because it's so much better when you do it in your own style.
Yes.
Don't try and be someone else. Be you. And figure out how to be you. And if you don't know how, that's the first learning to do. Figure out what feels comfortable. Because otherwise, it's not as good. It's, you know, you will be so much better when you do it your way. And it will suit a standards check, because the question I get asked the most is, can I do that on a standards check? Yeah, absolutely. As long as the structure's right, the rest of it doesn't matter. It's not how we get there. It's the fact that we do.
Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to what we were originally going to talk about. Let's start then with theory test explained. So where did all this come from, the rationale for setting this up and taking yourself in this direction?
We're rubbish at the theory. We're really, really bad as an industry. We perpetuate it because, talking very generally, PDIs go and do the part one on their own, and they do it via revising what they haven't learnt yet, and the understanding the why isn't relevant as long as you can answer the question.
Yes.
And therefore they go and teach rubbish as well as having done it in a rubbish way, because they haven't got the understanding. And it's only if they get asked a question and go, well, I don't know, that they'll then discover it. And we could do it so much better. But so we perpetuate it through the ADI qualification process, which is generally pathetic anyway. And that's not aimed at anybody who's doing it, because you all work incredibly hard at it. And it doesn't make it easy, but it just makes it a poor process. And we could do so much more. I don't think we should turn it into a Norwegian university qualification, but I do think structure and having best practice would be amazing. But it's not there yet. The same thing then happens with learners. They just use the app, and then because that doesn't necessarily work, instructors then say, well, it's because you're not reading the highway code. And I don't sleep very well. I have a copy of the highway code on hand for when that happens, and it normally sorts me out. It doesn't teach you the understanding. So I used to teach theory when I was out on the road doing the proper job, as all of my instructors tell me I'm not doing now, because I'm now a driving instructor without a car, I used to go, we'd do a 2-hour lesson, half hour drive to a random McDonald's or Costa, make use of the free Wi-Fi, do an hour's worth of theory, and then drive home again, which was all very nice because I was being paid by full whack for that lesson. And they were benefiting from the theory, but it was very much revision question based. And then when they struggled, I would teach. So I was teaching, but I was basing it on the revision questions. Yeah. COVID happened. My car, I was incredibly lucky. My car lease, I paid one payment and then it went back. It went back without a catalytic converter because someone has stolen it. But it went back. So I didn't have a car. And I don't think if that hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't be doing the theory in the way that I'm doing it now. I decided I'd quite liked not having to pay out for the car every month. Mm-hmm. And that I was really good, not at the theory. I know my stuff. I was really good at spotting the patterns in people's challenges with the learning. And that's where it is. And that's what's the bit that's needed. And then I was really good at working with pupils with additional needs in their own way and doing that on a screen. And, and I quite like the tech side, which is nice because I do it on Zoom. So I'm working with people I've got someone in Torquay at the moment, all the way up to someone on Isle of Skye. I have to tune into accent. That's the biggest biggest challenge. The funniest one is a chap up north. His mum's got quite an African accent. His is a Scottish-esque version. They appreciated that they could understand me. and I'm having to tune in to voices and things. That's the biggest challenge of my day, and I absolutely love it. That and getting exercise, as an instructor, we sit around all day. Yeah. Now I'm doing that to a different level. So I started doing it. I'm still learning every day. I learn stuff or a new way of dealing with things or perception of pupils. They'll suddenly say something and it'll fall into place of why people get it wrong. And I'm working with driving instructors all over who are very kindly referring me because that's where I get my work from, which is why I haven't done it under my driving school brand. I've done it under Theory Test Explained because then I can work in conjunction with some amazing instructors all over the country.
I'll just pick up on your catalytic converter comment. It's annoying when that happens, isn't it? But just to show, I did a little bit of research beforehand, because on the Theory Test Explained site, you've got the reasons for failing. And one of them is that not understanding, for example, technical language. Yes. And you've put on there that somebody didn't understand catalytic converter. I had a similar thing when I was doing some with a young lad some years ago. He didn't understand the term contraflow, nor did his mother. We're in his kitchen, and his mother didn't. I don't know what that is. I said, you could say to them, why don't you go and Google it or something? But who does that? But it is an issue, isn't it? That this sort of thing. If you don't know, you don't know.
It's the same as any industry. If you're going for an interview, learn the industry language.
Yeah.
Because you will appear to know what you're talking about, even if you don't. So whenever I'm dealing with tree surgeons, if I do a bit of fleet stuff on that side, then they call everything a truck. It's always, it doesn't matter if it's a car, van or lorry, it's a truck. And if they're talking to another tree surgeon who doesn't call it a truck, they're not a tree surgeon. So the technical language is so important. And we do it with other instructors. It's got a little bit out of date now because of the turning in the road not being on the test, but the turning in the road being a turning in the road, not a 3-point turn. And the other one, again, I don't hear it as much, but door mirrors versus wing mirrors, because they're not on the wing. that used to be the measure of whether you were a driving instructor or not. Yeah. Say wing mirror in a room of driving instructors, and there was this sucking through the teeth going on. But it's technical language. To cover catalytic converter, because when it came off of my, or was stolen off of my car, it was probably four-year-old wanted to know why the car was making loud noises. And I explained, and he said, oh, it's a fart filter for the car then. So that's how I teach, just to let you know the theory. And it's a cat with wind issues. And that's how people remember it. Yeah. And it's
talking their language, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is, if you can get a 5-year-old to teach you, then you can explain it well. And I now use ChatGPT for that as well. Insurance excess. I said to ChatGPT, please explain to a 5-year-old what insurance excess is. And I've got a really nice definition involving a toy and stickers that explains it beautifully, better than I could.
All right.
So there's a useful tip if you've got someone who's struggling, send them to AI.
Well, I remember vividly in the old PST days, I had a guy on his part three, and he's telling the examiner to drop the clutch. And then he got this reply from him, I'm not holding it.
Those were the days when they were allowed to wind you up.
They used to wind me up sitting in the back of the I've never heard anybody say that. What a bloody, I know what you're trying to do. We have a down here in Exeter, the local Mini dealer has a plastic mock-up version of the Mini on the side of, stuck to the side of the wall. Yep. And we're sitting at the traffic lights, and the examiner in role play is saying, I wonder how they got that up on the wall. And he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's trying to make sure that the PDI is getting him to concentrate what he should be doing, rather than playing around about how many cranes they needed to get this bit of plastic up there. But I've never, nobody's ever said that to me, ever.
It is the, you can see the sense of humour coming through when they're doing it. But I, doing the theory, I've actually learnt to listen to those things and kind of think, why are they saying it?
Yeah.
Whereas I think we used to be taught to dismiss it. It was keep on the task.
Yeah.
And actually, the opposite's become true. And it's something that there is no such thing as a wrong answer. There's an NLP presupposition, which is there is no such thing as failure, only feedback. So when they get the question wrong, I explore it, because actually that tells me more. And there was an instructor the other day who said, I think it was a really interesting statement, that by learning via revision, using the app and the multiple choice, you're learning 75% of the incorrect information, and you're filling your head with 75% incorrect information, which I kind of thought, that's really interesting. I like that. But if you can't find the right answer, understanding the wrong answers will help.
Yes.
So if you know the right answer, that 25% approach works really well. You could do a quarter of the workload. If you don't, being able to work it out is more important, I would say. So I think exploring wrong, and exploring when people get it wrong, not saying the right answer is this and this is why, kind of looking at what was your logic that got you there? I learn way more from that than I do.
Yeah.
Positive.
Oh, yeah, trying to explore somebody's mind. I always think of Lou Walsh on this sort of thing, and her ways of questioning things. And I was sat in the back with a PDI last week, and we had the stop question as we're going down the road, because he can't think of anything else to say. So what's the speed limit here? I'm thinking there's at least three pedestrian crossings along this road. There's two side roads down here. But if you're going to talk about the speed limit, Luke came up with some questions. So, you know, like if you were in charge of speed limits on this road, what would you make it? Or why are you going at this speed? Because you find out so much more about somebody by doing that than finding out whether they know something or not.
Yes. No, it's the why behind the questions. Yeah. You know, it's all of, or behind the answers. It's all of those. But Lou always, her best thing of questioning is when she says nothing. And it makes your brain whir. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that people often forget. And I've got a new tool that I stole from a preschool teacher, which is saying, do you want help or time? So when people, you've said to them, this is what you need to do, when you're not sure, you introduce it to them and say, right, I'm going to be asking you at some point, do you want help or time? You can choose, totally up to you, but I don't want you to sit there suffering when you want me to step in. But equally, I don't want to tread on your toes if you're working it out still. And that's, you know, that allows silence. And sometimes silence is a really important thing. Otherwise, people rush. But I've always said that Lou is the queen of that almost awkward silence, because it makes you think.
Don't be afraid of silence. I always say, to, you know, I got to get your PDIs who just feel they've got to be in control. I think sometimes probably I'm guilty of it as well. But, you know, just give somebody a chance to think.
Yeah. Do you want time or help? And
it's great.
It's a very useful one.
Yeah. So with the theory test explained, it's all done one-to-one via Zoom with people?
Currently, yes. Yeah. I'm looking at other options of ways to do things. I have been asked to produce some PDFs for other people to give out as such. And I'm, as an ADI, I've always tried to give stuff away. That's been my approach. I don't like, and it's really difficult to, when you come up with something and it's yours, you get that Gollum moment where it's, you know, my precious and you let go of it. You get so much more by giving it out. And I've always tried to take that approach. So I'm trying to put together some PDFs of bits of information that kind of, you know, deliver those different areas of need. But the thing that I think I want to change the most is how people find training and how they get to the point of training. Because telling people to go and revise is the bit that doesn't work. And I come in after that every time. And I want to come in before it. So what I might do is do an introductory lesson that's available to people.
Right. Yeah.
The video as a kind of, this is how to do the theory well, and then if they want to come to me for the one-to-one stuff, they can.
Right.
That's something else I would like to do. But at the moment, it's Zoom, it's live, and it's one-to-one.
Right. And what I can do on the notes of this is put the link in that for those people who don't know what this is about or didn't know beforehand can find out more and get in touch with them.
And if they are ADIs or PDIs, if they refer, if they get in touch with me first, I will add them to my list of names. Their pupils will get a discount off of the the hourly rate that I charge. Yeah. As a thank you to them for referring me.
Yeah.
Get in touch, and I've got a lovely little advert they can send out when people say, "What's it about?"
Good.
That will then push them in the right direction, hopefully. And I'm happy to have a chat. People haven't got to get in touch because they want to pay me money. They can get in touch because they've got a question. Yeah. And that's the way that I work.
Great. Right. That's superb. Let's move on then to the Driving Instructor and Trainers Collective, which is something that I feel needs I've not really pushed enough down here. And when I look into, delve into what's available there, there is so much available to people for a pittance of a payment each month.
We can charge more if you want.
I've just spoken to somebody, we're trying to find somebody for one of our PDIs for some free lessons, because she's only just starting. And I said to this girl, well, once she's goes on a trainee licence, the price will go up. It'll be, I'm saying it'll be £100 an hour. I was stupid enough to say, I'm only joking, just as she said, oh, that's okay.
There's lessons to be learned there. What is a normal price nowadays? But the DITC, my best shorthand for it, you know, I haven't yet beaten, is that it is the signposting platform for the industry, because that's what we want. We don't want to be an association. We end up being a pseudo association at times, because we're putting information out there and DVSA are listening to us at times. So, you know, I'm happy doing that, but it's not our purpose. Our purpose is that as an ADI, it's really hard to find, or PDI, or pre-PDI, it's even worse, good information. You either get the person who's got the biggest sales voice, and that's not always, if ever, the best, or you get the DVSA lowest common denominator facts of how you go through the process. So that, you know, what I mean is, if you went to gov.uk, read the website, and then went and took the part one, part two, part three without any training, it doesn't tell you what's involved in the process. Yeah. It says the minimum standard you've got to reach. And as we've said, there's amazing stuff out there. What we want to do is help people engage with it.
Yeah.
Sadly, Ian and I are both working driving instructors, amongst other things that we do, inside and outside the industry. So there's only so much time. What I want, my personal goal, I want 1,000 members for the DITC, because then I can give up a large proportion of the other stuff I do
and
make driving instructors' lives better. And I can change the world if I get that freedom. genuinely believe I can, because so much of it is held back with trying to find time.
Yeah.
And it will still be a problem. It's not going to be a massive solution, but I genuinely think that there are things that we can do to join dots and bring things together. Yeah. So at the moment, while we try to get as much online, if you need something, you get in touch, and we've probably got it, or we know who has. So it becomes time heavy as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is £6 a month. On that, for that £6, anyone who has passed their part one onwards, PDI part after part one to part two, part three, or ADI, qualifies as a professional learner and therefore can get a student card and student discount. Now, that's worth £6 a month in its own right if you use it well. Don't go to Pizza Express, spend 120 quid on a meal and forget to use the meal. I'm not admitting that I did, but I was kicking myself after. I think I would have halved the bill. There was an offer on and I totally forgot. That was a once in a blue moon thing, and I'm very annoyed. But it took me a year of negotiating to get that student discount.
Yeah.
And they have recognised that as an ADI, you reflect back on your lesson. You continuously try to improve what you do and you adapt how you teach. That makes us a professional student. And so it's absolutely legitimate. People have been worried that it's dodgy. It really isn't. And you know, I said I'm not good at sales, but I'm quite good at negotiating. Yeah. I'm also really stubborn. they said yes because they couldn't say no anymore. Yeah. So the student card is massive. There is the benefits on specialist ADI advice on mortgages, because Ian Brett is a qualified mortgage advisor. and there's business coaching for driving instructors there as well.
Yeah, I've looked at it, and one of the things when you're training that you just don't get at all is the business side of running things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am, one of my other hats is I do business. I'm a business coach of a sort, and I do business coaching with one of the top 50 accountants, female accountants in the world, is one of my clients. I work with travel agents. I was with a health coach yesterday, improving her business. So I do that sort of thing outside of the industry, but I started doing it with instructors in the industry who wanted to go independent or wanted to grow a driving school and look at the options there. So, DITC members get discount on that and various other things. We're getting more and more affiliations with different companies and benefits with different companies, including NLP training. And we're looking to grow that. And what we really want to do is grow a better community, linking in with people like insurance companies or app providers who we can engage with better as instructors, so we get a better product. Because actually I'm yet to find a good insurance product for driving instructors. There's always a thing missing, or it works for them, not us. And the big one for me, if you claim on your insurance that we get paid our lost hours on our hourly rate, not on profit, based on an average across a year, because we got to pay for that car. That is our loss, and we should face a loss when we're dealing with insurance. Yeah. So there's a couple of companies that we're talking to. It takes time. We're not going to change the DVSA. We're happy to do them, but we're not going to change them. So let's make the world a better place ourselves. Leave them the minimum standard, and we'll deal with the maximum.
Yeah, great. And I'm just looking at the moment, the wealth of information there is in the PDI section as well, and all coming from a different point of view. So we use Lou and Blaine's Go Green material to support ours. So, that's a revolution compared to some of the stuff we used before. I look through what you've got there, and so for the amount it's going to cost somebody, that there's information there and ways of looking at things again which is different and will work for some people better than another method.
It's the tone in which it's delivered, I think, is often the difference. DVSA are that minimum thing. Sales pitch is, let's make it all Technicolor, and it's not really. It's trying to be realistic and go, these are the things that work. These are the risks. It might not work for you. And then if someone doesn't understand it, because we don't all work well from written stuff, then, join up and you can have some time to discuss it. And, I love having a chat. As people point out. We're always happy to do so. We did have, I'll be really honest, someone signed up. Apparently it was the least value £6 that they'd ever spent. And they've fed that back to us, which I appreciate people giving feedback, to be honest. Gave them a call, and they totally changed their mind because what they hadn't found what they were looking for, because they weren't looking for what they needed.
Right.
So sometimes it is about, and this is what we want to represent, is drop us a line, pick up the phone, because there's so much more to it than is there, but you've got to start at the surface. You've got to work your way through. So if anyone has a question, I just keep saying to people, some people, and actually Blaine Walsh said this, they think it's weird when you answer the phone, just because your name's kind of got out there, recognized, because you've got a big gob on a stick, and you're happy to go and talk on stuff. that they feel they can't contact you. I love it when people get to, especially PDIs. It's brilliant. Yeah. So yeah, do it.
Right. Well, I shall certainly be pushing that in this. And it's something that I think, that the more that we can get the word out there that all this fantastic stuff that you're putting out, the better for us and for you financially, obviously.
No. Yeah. My aim is, I want to be able to afford to dedicate the time that is worth to the industry, and that's it. So, and, you know, every time someone signs up, that's a bit more of my week that I can dedicate to putting stuff out there. And it's not, I'll be really honest about it. The DITC is not where we want it, not where we hoped we would be, because.
But it's very young, isn't it?
Yeah, but times are really difficult for instructors. Just, we don't have time. So, you know, being part of the solution, you're part of the problem as well. You know, what we would love is for you know, people to get in touch and say, I've got a specialism, here's stuff for a web page. You know, use it. As long as it's you know, it's good and accurate, we've got the space we can dedicate to it. So we're happy to work with people on that front. So yeah, and then it will grow into whatever it's going to become, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Right, we'll wind things up in a minute, because I know fairly soon my wife is going to start twitching about how long it's going to take us to get the cat into the cage to get us to the vet. But just one thing I want, last thing I want to ask you about, and it's in some ways it's sad that the Big Learner Relay is coming to an end this year. And of course, you've been very, very centrally involved in this. One question I've got is, what's going to happen to the suit? For those who don't know, Chris is very shy and retiring on the, especially on the last day, and he wears this suit that nobody can see him, but well, you certainly can spot him because it's all these different coloured spots on it, and I'm intrigued as whether that's going to be retired, auctioned off, or what.
It became multiple suits. That was the problem.
Oh, because right.
We started theming things, and therefore I needed a different one for each theme. So I have an amazing collection. What's really depressing, possibly oversharing, is some of them don't fit as well as they used to. So you know, every year it's kind of a reminder of I've either lost or gained weight. It was the first party, so it was the second year, and it was smart with a hint of spot, and I believe I got slightly misled into it being spot with a hint of smart. It's become an iconic part of the relay,
which is
lovely. I really, you know, really value being part of that. Lou never takes the credit. She says it's a group activity, but it wouldn't be the relay without her.
No.
She's been amazing, and what she's managed to achieve, and I mean just she's managed to achieve it, is incredible. And then magnifying that with the team around her, the instructors that have got on board, and the PDIs that think it's normal. Because there was nothing like it. A massive credit to the industry. What we can achieve when we put our minds to it.
Yeah.
So if that momentum is going to go anywhere, if there isn't something following the relay, don't know. If something else doesn't happen, if we can put that momentum into the DITC and we've helped children in need and inadvertently benefited our industry, let's focus on our industry for a bit. I will happily harness some of that and push it in our direction. So for me, that might be what comes next, is we start saying what good can we do as a community in a less focused way. But what's going to happen this year for the relay? Don't know.
All will be revealed eventually.
Looking forward to finding out. I will, as always, follow my illustrious but short leader, wherever she tells me to follow her, because it's been an amazing.
Yeah, because even the year that 2 years ago, COVID, we just did the little Devon Heart down here, and yes. People were doing just their leg any time of day when they could, but four of us got together, and Jody here, and we then met up with Angie Preslett and Sue Duncan in Okehampton, and we did around the bottom half of Dartmoor, and it just we couldn't do the proper relay, but the four of us, cars going around together, and people were hooting at us in support, not because we're holding them up. Even if something sort of more local comes out of it, as you say, we all support each other. I'm sure there will be a legacy that people will carry on in some form.
I hope so, because it is that story of it just came from. Yeah. If anyone doesn't know about the relay, I recorded the, because I wrote the songs for each.
Yeah.
I wrote the lyrics. I stole the song. Yeah. And once you've listened to them, you won't hear the original again. But I recorded a little intro for each one, and that has. I listened back to it because someone had commented on it, and it really is the story of the relay. It's in my words, but if you don't know about the relay, that's a lovely way to kind of discover it, and then hopefully this year get involved, because it's going to be amazing whatever happens.
Yeah. And I'll add in that if anybody wants to listen to season one of my podcast, that Lou did one there, and just before things went out. So there's information out there to find out and get involved in the 10th and last one.
Yeah, it's gonna be emotional.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, Chris, before we start shedding tears, we'll leave that until November. Thank you so much for giving up your time today. I'm so grateful to you. As always with these things, there's been a wealth of information in there that will be there for people to come back to and listen to snippets as and when they need to, if they can't manage the whole thing in one go.
No, absolute pleasure. Thank you for the invite. And genuine offer, if anybody has questions, get in touch.
That's brilliant. I'm sure some people will. Thanks ever so much, Chris.
Thank you.